Thank you so much for coming to learn with me. Secondly, if it's okay with you, first of all, this is the first time I've ever taught on masks, and I'm very excited. It's where I work, we have to remain masked, so this is very exciting. At BRS, considering that I'm fully vaccinated, I can stand up here and unmask. That's super exciting. I feel like the good old days. But also, with your permission, I would really like to dedicate our learning tonight to the situation in Israel and in the schus of our learning Torah together in your free time, which is, again, like Rabbi Zion said, so special of you guys to come out. Let that be a schus for what's going on in Israel and for things to calm down, get better, and for Mashiach to come. B'mhir b'yaminu. Amen. Okay. Now, the plan tonight is not only to learn Torah, obviously, but it is ultimately to prepare for the ultimate Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, we have Shavuos coming. Before Shavuos, we have the Shlosh HaSimei HaGbalah, right? And we want to try to not only understand how the holiday itself, like to relate to the holiday itself, how that could relate to us, but also, more importantly, you know, we should, at this point, you probably understand what Shavuos is and how it relates to us and all that. But more importantly, we want to understand how we can then take the messages of Shavuos and then bring them into our daily lives and carry them further. Okay, so let's begin with a few questions. Okay, firstly, of the Shlosh Regalim, Shavuos is the only one, now granted there are only three, but Shavuos is the only one, it's the odd man out, that is only a day or 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, right? The other two holidays, Pesach and Sukkot, are each a full week-long holiday. Now, not only that, but it also happens to be, of the three, the one that's colloquially called weeks. It's called Shavuot. Okay, not as in Shavua as a promise, but Shavuot as in weeks. Okay, now, granted, it is probably called Shavuos, it's probably called Shavuot weeks because of the weeks that lead up to the holiday itself. Hey, it's my girls! I'm so happy you're all here too. They're my girls. It's okay, you just missed the main point. Totally fine. This feels like usual. So again, it's definitely called Shavuos weeks because it's the weeks leading up to Matan Torah and the weeks leading from Pesach to Shavuos, otherwise known as Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, but the irony is still there, right? It's still the only holiday called weeks and the only one that doesn't last a week. It's only a day, again, or two. Okay, and especially considering that of all of the holidays, of the three of the Shlosh Regalim, you would expect the one in which we receive our guidebook for life, our Torah HaKadosha, you would expect that to be like a little bit longer of a celebration. Like, why are we only, you know, limiting it to one day? Okay, second question. There are no mitzvot hayom on Shavuos, right? On Pesach, we have dal koso, we have matzah, maror, korban Pesach, right? There's no mitzvot hayom of Shavuot itself. On Sukkot, we have dal minim, we have sitting in the sukkah. Now, okay, we have some customs on Shavuos, which are beautiful customs that we learn Torah all night, right? Or we eat cheesecake, even though we're all lactose intolerant, okay? But we don't have any mitzvot hayom. And again, of the all of the holidays that you would expect to have mitzvot, Shavuos is probably like top of those days, considering it's the day in which we got the book, which lists all of the mitzvot that we do, right? And there's no mitzvot hayom on Shavuos. Okay, so our second question is, why don't we have any specific mitzvot to the Yom Tov of Shavuos? And lastly, our third question is, if I were to ask you to describe Har Sinai, if I were to ask my kids to describe Har Sinai, my little, well, not maybe not the littlest one, he's a baby, but like the little ones to describe Har Sinai, how would they describe Har Sinai? It's a real question. How would they describe it? What did it look like? It was a mountain. Thank you, Zoomers. It was a mountain covered in flowers, right? Feel similar, no? Okay, it was a mountain covered in flowers, right? We know it was a lowly mountain. It wasn't the biggest mountain. It wasn't the most impressive mountain. It wasn't, right? But it was a lowly mountain, and yet it was still covered in flowers. Okay, we definitely wouldn't be able to find it on a map. We have no idea where it is other than the fact that it's in Midbar Sinai, okay? But we can all picture it. We can all make a little, you know, drawing of it. It's green and it's a little lump. It's not like a big peak, right? It's a little lump and it's covered in little, like, circular flowers, right? Of course, that's how you picture it. Okay, because I'm sure that that's what most of the mountains in the Sinai Desert look like. Right? Anyone ever been to the Sinai Desert or anywhere near the Sinai Desert, i.e. Israel? Do all of the mountains in Israel look like a little lump with pretty little flowers on it? No. Israel is a desert, okay? Specifically, the Sinai Desert is a desert. So it's a little strange that Hashem made an unnatural phenomenon occur in which he put flowers on a mountain in the desert. Now, not only that, but we couldn't find it on a map. It's an anonymous mountain. We don't know where it is. Which is also fairly strange considering that the most monumental event in all of Jewish history occurred there. And we have no idea where it is. We don't go visit. We don't pay homage. There's no like Shlosh Regalim to Israel, to Har Sinai. That's just not what we do. Okay, so not only that, but not only can we picture how Har Sinai looked in our mind's eye, but we also set our tables with extra flowers and we decorate our shuls with extra flowers. Why? To remind ourselves of Har Sinai. Okay, so our last question is, why is it that Hashem felt the need to make a miracle where a miracle is completely unnecessary? That's just a rule of the way Hashem works, is he doesn't make miracles for fun. He could, but he doesn't. Okay, so why would Hashem make a miracle, make something so unnatural happen, and place flowers on a mountain in the middle of the Sinai Desert, just to be decorative? Okay, so again, the three questions are, for my latecomers, the three questions are, why is the holiday celebrating Matan Torah only lasting a day or two, and yet we're calling it the Holiday of Weeks? The second question, why don't we have any mitzvot hayom on the day celebrating the receiving of the Torah, of the Book of Mitzvot? And lastly, why is Har Sinai not only anonymous, but also covered unnecessarily in flowers? Okay, now, in order to answer these questions, I think we need to approach Shavuos differently than we generally do. Generally, we view our holidays as celebrations or commemorations of things that happened in the past, as opposed to celebrations that we're celebrating in the present. Okay, so another name for Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time, the general time in which the Torah was given, not Yom Matan Torah Seinu, the day in which the Torah was given. And there's a very simple reason for that. The reason is the Torah was not given on Shavuos. Are you mind blown yet? No? Okay. So the Torah was given on Zion Sivan. We celebrate Shavuos on Vav Sivan. If you live in Israel, which is the ideal situation in where to celebrate the holiday of Shavuos and every other holiday and every other mitzvah, okay, if you live in Israel, you are not celebrating the holiday of Shavuos on the day in which the Torah was given. You are celebrating it a day early. If you live in Chutz Laaretz, okay, lucky you, you get 2 days. So it happens to work out that way. Okay, and that only makes it stranger, right? Now, the reason for this is because, as I said before, our holidays, and specifically the holiday of Shavuos, is not meant to celebrate and to commemorate something that happened in the past. Our goal is to have a renewed commitment currently and in the future. So the reason that Shavuos is meant is because Shavuos is meant to be paradigmatic. It's meant to be a day That's an example of what every day could be. It's the weeks leading up to Shavuos. That's obviously, we said, that's obviously where the name comes from. And they're just as important as the day itself. Matan Torah, if you view Matan Torah like a marriage, right? It's our marriage between us and Hashem. Mazel Tov, it's our wedding day. Now, so many little girls look up, you know, look forward to their wedding day. Oh, the big fluffy white dress and the veil and the flowers and all that, right? Hopefully, as kids get older, as little girls get older, you, i.e., okay, hopefully you're going to realize that, yes, you want to have a beautiful wedding day and you want your wedding to be, you know, a spectacular event. But the marriage itself is what needs to be the most beautiful. The wedding day is a celebration of the marriage, but the marriage is the thing that's counting. Now, again, because the wedding is one day, but the marriage hopefully will last a lifetime. When Yaakov wanted to marry Leah, he was made to work for 7 years. When he wanted to marry Rachel, he was made to work for 7 years, right? Ultimately, then, okay, she was swapped. It was Leah. He got married to Leah. A week later, he gets married to Rachel, then has to work another 7 years. Okay, retroactively. Now, he's working. Did you know that? The order? No? Okay. So he's working for 14 years for Rachel. And Chazal say that the years flew by for him. It felt like it was nothing for him, right? Why? Because he loved Rachel so much. Now, let me ask you, have you ever looked forward to something? Okay, when you look forward to something, you're like, summer, right? How many more days? 11 more school days till summer, I'm estimating. Okay, we have a week and a half of school days till summer. It's 11 more school days till summer. Every single one of those 11 school days is going to feel like eons. I don't care how much you love your school. It's going to feel like forever if you're super excited for summer. Why is that? And why, more importantly, why is it that Yaakov should have felt that way? You're waiting for the love of your life and you have to wait for 7 years to marry her and it feels like it just flew by? And the reason is because Yaakov realized that he was preparing for a marriage. He wasn't preparing just to marry Rachel. He was preparing himself during those 7 years. He was getting himself ready to be the best husband, to work on his midos, to work on, you know, to be mevater and all of those midos that are important in a marriage. He's working on himself and he has a goal in mind. And when you have a goal and every day builds up towards that ultimate goal, then you end up setting higher goals for yourself afterwards. That time flies by a lot faster than when you're dreading the days in between. When you're utilizing the days leading up to your goal, you're not focusing on the amount of time left. You're focusing on the accomplishments you need to make in order to reach that goal. So Shavuos is called weeks, referring to the weeks leading up to the holiday, because the weeks leading up to the holiday are time that's meant to be spent preparing for Shavuos. It's meant to be preparing for the holiday itself, and those weeks are probably more important than the holiday itself. And for this same reason, we don't have mitzvos hayom on Shavuos. Okay, it's meant to be a day which is a paradigm of all other days. We're not just celebrating the wedding anniversary between us and Hashem. We're celebrating the marriage and the continued commitment that we have with Hashem. And we're meant to build up before the holiday and continue to work after the holiday. It would be very, very sad if a married couple only interacted on their wedding anniversary. That's not a relationship. That's a very sad situation if you only say, I love you, on your wedding anniversary. you need to build that commitment throughout the year. Okay, on your wedding anniversary, you celebrate the commitment, but the commitment can't waver throughout the year. And now we can understand why Hashem decided to decorate, to miraculously decorate Har Sinai with flowers. Because flowers, they're planted, they're seeds, and they sprout, and they grow gradually, and then they blossom, and they flourish. And that's how our commitment to Torah is meant to be. We're supposed to constantly grow. We're not supposed to just grow one day out of the year celebrating Matan Torah, but we're supposed to constantly grow, always growing, always flourishing. And Har Sinai itself, it's an anonymous mountain because it's not necessary to mark its location. You don't need to go back to Har Sinai in order to commit yourself to Torah. That's like saying you need to go back to the wedding hall you got married in order to celebrate your anniversary. I'm going to Williamsburg on July 7th, guys. That's where I got married. Okay, no, that's ridiculous. That's unnecessary. Did you know that? Put that in your fact page. Of course you did. Okay, that's unnecessary. You don't need that to commit to your to the relationship with Hashem. Because Torah can flourish anywhere. And if anything, Har Sinai was meant to be anonymous to teach us that. Now, it could have easily, Hashem could have brought us into Eretz Yisrael immediately and given us the Torah immediately, right then and there. He didn't. He gave us the Torah in the Midbar and then brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there was a delay, but ultimately the goal was never to get the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And that's a message for the ages. Historically, we have most of the Svarim that we learn, including the Talmud Bavli, wasn't written in Eretz Yisrael. It was written in Gullus. Today, we are learning Torah in Boca Raton, Florida. Now, granted, mitzvot are better in Eretz Yisrael, but Torah can flourish anywhere. And we can learn Torah anywhere, and we can commit ourselves to Torah anywhere. So let's answer the three questions again. Why is the holiday celebrating Matan Torah only lasting a day or two when it's called weeks? Because it's called weeks to lead up to the event, to realize that the event is important, but it's only a celebration for the wedding day itself. It's not a celebration of the marriage. And weeks is when we're committing ourselves to the marriage with Hashem, to the marriage with the Torah. Why don't we have any mitzvot hayom? Because it's not necessary to have mitzvot hayom when the day itself isn't as important as the lifetime we are making for ourselves in our commitment to the Torah. The day itself is just a paradigm of every other day in our relationship. And lastly, why is the Torah not only anonymous but covered in flowers? Because flowers teach us to grow. So when you see the flowers on Shavuos, and you see the flowers at your Yontif table, and when you see the flowers in Shul, remember the message. Remember the message that the flowers are there for. That the Torah, the commitment to Torah, and the commitment to grow with Torah. And why is Har Sinai anonymous? Because we don't need the place where the Torah was given. That's like visiting your wedding hall on your anniversary. It's unnecessary. A relationship can flourish anywhere. Our commitment to Torah can flourish anywhere. And I just have one final thought that just kind of came to me. You're late. When we received the Torah, we were described ki'ish echad b'leiv echad, because the pasuk said vayichan Yisrael neged hahar, right? The word vayichan that we stood beside the mountain. The word Vayichan is written singularly. So Rashi says that it was representative that we were ki'isha chad b'leiv echad. We were like one unit. That B'nai Yisrael wasn't disparate. We were like one soul. We were one unit. And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva's students died mi Pesach ad Atzeret because shalo nahagu kavod zeh lazeh, because they didn't respect one another. Pesach ad Atzeret means from Pesach until Shavuos, they died this entire 7-week period because they lacked respect for one another. They didn't feel their pain, each other's pain, as a unit. Now, in addition to accepting the Torah on Shavuos and every day leading up to Shavuos and every day thereafter, nothing gives Hashem more nachas than seeing his children get along. So we should learn from Rabbi Akiva's students and from Bnei Yisrael accepting the Torah Neged Hahar, not only to connect with the Torah on a daily basis, but to connect with each other on a daily basis. And if anything reminds you of that, let the flowers of Yantiv, of Shavuos, remind you of that. Again, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for coming. I tried to keep it short and sweet.